The easiest way to make a cup of high-quality coffee is Cometeer Coffee. Cometeer sources the highest quality beans from roasters like Intelligentsia, Counterculture, Equator, and more. You can make espressos, you can make desserts, iced coffees. Basically, everything is so good is what we drink way too much of at Majordomo Media. Get $20 off your first subscription order when you visit Cometeer.com/Chang. Also, every episode of Chrissy and Dave Dine Out is available to stream now on Hulu. You can catch myself, Chrissy Teigen, and Joel Kim Booster hosting dinners at some of the best restaurants in Los Angeles. Very fun. I'm so happy that I was able to eat at all of those delicious restaurants and have great conversations. So check it out. You can also catch replays of Dinner Time Live on Netflix, but you should really catch us live on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's get on to the show. Welcome to the Dave Chang Show. I'm here with Toyota and the NFL at Super Bowl 58, recording next to the all-new 2024 Tacoma with Chef Nico De Leon, Chase, and Steph Valencia from La Cita, the great restaurant in downtown Los Angeles. We're going to get into some good food topics, and we have a special guest, real special guest, who dropped some bombs. Get on to the show.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. No matter how you like your eggs, scrambled, over easy, or sunny side up, the people at Vital Farms believe in one thing, keeping it bullshit free. That's why their pasture-raised eggs come from hens who each have over 108 square feet of space to roam and forage all year round. So you can spend less time questioning your food and more time enjoying it. Look for Vital Farms in your grocery store and learn more at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free. This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Great iced tea takes you somewhere else, like new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea that we have here at the Spotify Studios and drink quite a bit, where unexpectedly blackberry flavor transports you to a berry delicious place. So refreshing, you may never want to leave. You will eventually have to, though. But take your time. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf. That's 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
I'm here with Chef Nico De Leon and the rest of the team of La Cita. We have Chase and Steph.
Guess what these guys did bright and early today?
Yoga? Hot yoga?
Quite the opposite, I'd say.
Literally the polar opposite.
Oh, no. You went to Palace Station.
No.
We went to Bacchanal.
Oh, wow.
Well, we are in Las Vegas, and they were, I think this is the most Asian thing in the world. I think they were the first ones in line at the buffet.
Well played. First
one. Nico made reservations.
I made, yeah.
10:15 a.m.
Exactly. I changed it once we got a later call time to 10:15. It was 9 a.m., which is even more daring.
He wanted us there at 9 a.m. eating prime rib at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Can you go over the strategy and the differing strategies the three of you guys had?
Yeah, it was funny. I was more on the tip of like try as much as possible, not necessarily consume as much as possible. So I would like get a little bit, taste it, scoot it off my plate, you know.
That's a terrible strategy. What are you
talking about? I'm so
I'm trying to have some self-control. I know it's going to be on camera today, so, you know.
Well, then luckily, typically how do you usually do it?
Usually I'm like hit all the heavy hitters, the crab legs, the prime ribs, which I did today. Don't get me wrong. I just like did it with grace.
Did you follow the same plan?
I did not. Okay. I like to practice my little plating techniques. Like I don't know how to plate. I don't know how to cook, but I like to practice that. I did a little, you know, sprinkle here, sprinkle there. And then I got so full. It was like 10 a.m.
Oh, you compose little plates.
I like doing that. Like little, you know, I just like to.
She plays mess chef, and you know.
Just, oh, cool.
Chase?
That's what I do.
For me, it's I scope out the entire scene, kind of see what I'm going to hit, what I'm going to attack. Usually I'm going to make four plates, you know what I mean, for the entire thing. So I'll start off definitely with some veggies. Do a little charcuterie.
Start off with veggies.
Yes, I swear.
He was doing so well and for a second there.
The thing is, I got to get it in before I go
stop
into
talking about it.
What? You set us up. That was.
Why did you guys go to the buffet at 10 a.m. to eat veggies and
salad?
That's the start.
No. You end with that stuff if you even get to it at all.
Yeah. That's
Come on, man.
Man. No.
Act like
I got to get it in.
What are the four plates? A veggie plate is one.
No. First is I do a little salad, a little cheese. Then it's the morning, right? So I'll do I did eggs, I did a prime rib and the brisket. Okay. And then also had a little bit of hash browns just because it was breakfast, 10:15 a.m. You know what I mean?
You had a four-course tasting meal.
And then there was an ube horchata that I saw, so I had to try that out. And
was ube it good?
Waffles. Yeah, the ube horchata was pretty damn good.
Is 2024 the year that ube finally takes over the world?
Everywhere.
Right?
Like,
I mean, Trader Joe's has it. You know what I mean?
Everywhere. But I feel like people have been proclaiming every year the past 10 years is the year of the ube.
Yeah.
Yeah. The year of the Filipino, but yeah.
We're here in front of this ube-colored Toyota right now. It's finally arrived.
We did it.
Lunar New Year color. I'm sorry to harp on this four plates. I take this very seriously. I think you started off well. And this is just my opinion, right?
Yeah.
Just like there's a lot of different ways to coach a football team.
Well, there's only one.
Your
way
offensive
to win.
Strategy is very different than my strategy. First, I have to see who and where and what is happening. Time as well, right?
The scouting report was good.
We had an hour and a half.
Do you approve of the early arrival, the 10 a.m. first ones in
line? That was earlier than I prefer to have a buffet, but
that's aggressive. That's a very aggressive call. I don't even know what to think about that.
That's like showing up for an away game 2 weeks early.
My personal opinion is you have to really delay your gratification on all carbs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Till the end.
Yeah.
And there's no vegetables.
Yeah, no vegetables.
Man, I'm getting roasted right now.
I mean, I don't think those words have ever been uttered in buffet eating. I can't wait to compose a plate of vegetables.
I mean, you're in a competition with the buffet in a lot of ways here.
Not only is that a competition, you guys know this. When you bring your food back, it is who did it the best.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. Buffet isn't about just eating and stuffing your face. It's about lording over your friends and your family about who I can do this better than you guys can. And I got to say, going for a plate of veggies, I would have just walked out and sat at another table. Well,
to end that argument really quick, look at these two pristine models here. I'm clearly the winner, you know, like without attempt.
You go straight for the highest value target, prime rib, brisket.
Yeah.
That's got to be your first plate right off the bat, right?
Or crab legs, yeah.
Crab legs. But here's the deal. We've talked about this at length. Your goal is to eat more food standing in line than sitting down. Right? So chicken fingers, shrimp, crab legs, all that stuff should be eaten in line. And you got to know where the points of egress and trash cans are to discard those things, right? If you so choose, you can eat vegetables.
Yeah.
But it's got to be in line. You don't want anyone to think that you're eating vegetables, man.
You got to hide that, man.
I mean, every time I go to the table, they always make fun of me and laugh at every plate that I come up.
As they should.
I deserve it.
So the three of you probably, you guys are all friends. You're all partners in La Cita. So you guys have probably eaten together a lot.
Countless.
Right?
Did you guys even think about changing the height structure, the verticality of your plate? Because having a side plate is also a big move because it makes it look like you had less. You want to make it seem like you've eaten less than anybody as well when you've actually eaten more.
Yeah, so you come with like a small plate and then the large plate.
But my point is, do you feel this pressure to be like Dave is like, our strategy is built around like hiding how much we're eating from the rest of the people at our table. Do you feel compelled to hide from each other, or are you guys just open books?
It's open book.
Open book.
It's pretty open book, but I do feel some shame.
It's not about shame. It's about everything in life. It's about winning. And I'm just a little disappointed, guys. It's Lunar New Year. This is how you really celebrate Lunar New Year, by eating at a buffet.
Winning culture.
You gotta, again, any of the refuse, any of like food, you gotta just put it on the other plates too. You have to have the cleanest plate. And it has to be seen as like you've eaten the least amount. Who had the best looking plates?
I'm not.
I don't. I think I did.
Who do you think? I think Steph did because she has it. It's all composed. Yeah. She kind of like makes it all pretty. Cute.
I gotta say, Dave, if I sat down at a buffet and somebody had composed plates in front of me, I'd be like sociopath.
Not only that, I'm erasing their number from my.
cannot hang with somebody who composed their plates at the buffet. Cannot hang.
When did you guys leave room for dessert?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's a must for sure.
Who are these people? I mean,
why is there that was a trick question. There should be no room. There's no room for that. Come on now.
Again, this is just my buffet opinion.
When you guys generally go out to eat, who's doing the ordering? Like how do you handle ordering?
It's usually
kind of collaborative.
It's kind of collaborative, I would say. Yeah.
But you'll make the call and you're the one who usually orders. Right.
You guys don't have an alpha. You don't have an alpha orderer.
No, not an alpha orderer. Like
it's kind of collective. It's pretty interesting. It's
Is that kind of collaboration carry over in the restaurant?
100%. Yeah.
Definitely.
As it should.
I like to eat. I don't know. I don't know about the collaborative ordering. I don't know how that works, honestly.
I mean, we recognize the hitters on the menu. Will I call it out? Oh, that looks fire. That looks fire. Should we do that? Yes.
But what about a disagreement? You guys compromise?
Who wins?
We all win.
We all do. Yeah.
But we go through the merits of the dish.
So confused.
They're just like proposing communism to us right now. I don't really understand how this is supposed to function.
Did you guys collaborate on the chicken sandwich today?
No.
That was Nico.
That was Nico. No.
Talk about that sandwich.
Following the prompt, tailgate, right? You think of fried chicken, obviously, but other ways of delivering that. And chicken in a sal is a Filipino dish that's like kind of overlooked and overseen, and it doesn't really get a lot of light. So I feel like it's...
What is the traditional
Traditionally, version? It's from this city called Bacolod, which is like in the south, but it's typically a grilled chicken. So it's marinated in vinegar, calamansi, a ton of spices and aromatics like ginger, lemongrass, garlic, bay leaf, black pepper. And it's grilled and it's basted with all those same aromatics. They're like steeped in, they use margarine a lot in the Philippines. And then it's just basted in margarine.
I did not know.
It's delicious. They serve it with chicken fat margarine. Rice. No. The
butter.
The butter, yeah. Butter substitute.
Not marjoram, margarine.
Margarine. This one I served... fried chicken, and then I inspired by Nashville, covered it in a salt butter.
Do you guys think Filipino food to me generally seems like a pretty decent tailgating cuisine, right?
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that you could keep warm, and then you could do like a huge tray of like lumpia or something, exactly. Right? Like all good tailgating stuff.
Totally.
Actually.
Things on sticks.
Underrated tailgate food.
Yeah.
I've gotten in this argument with Noelle. Quite a bit when you bring up lumpia.
I can't wait to
see. She actually seen me try to make lumpia and it was terrible. She laughed right out of my face.
I mean, you weren't just trying to make lumpia like, oh, I'm going to look at a recipe for lumpia and I'm going to try to make it for Noelle. You were trying to invent lumpia on the fly out of.
So my whole take is this: of all that genre throughout all of Asia.
Yeah.
Where does lumpia rank?
In the crispy roll canon?
Crispy roll canon.
I would argue it's top three.
But not number one.
No.
Oh. What's number one?
I prefer the Vietnamese.
The imperial roll.
Yeah, like lettuces and herbs and fish sauce. Come on.
I think that's probably right.
It's like a fully composed.
But this was a two-part question to you. I set you guys up. Because the real argument with Noelle is her belief that lumpia is a main dish, not an appetizer. Right? Remember? A side dish. I think it's an appetizer, not a side dish.
Filipinos don't eat like that, though. Filipinos eat like it's a spread on a table.
Yeah, but okay.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. Like, sure, we're not coursing our stuff out.
But if you had to course, but you're saying it's an appetizer or a side dish? You had to choose.
What? What is this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to choose. Side dish or appetizer?
I have to choose?
Yes.
Yeah, an appetizer.
Am I having a Filipino meal or what is this at Bacchanal? What am I choosing?
You are, okay, yeah. You're going to a buffet and it's all Filipino food. Is the lumpia, do you eat the lumpia first?
Yes. Good question.
I would know.
No.
Steph.
No, disagreement.
I would eat first. That's what I would grab first.
Oh, this collaboration.
I know. We're breaking arguments.
I see how this collaboration works.
Right? I feel like lumpia and anything that's a deep fried crispy roll is a like immediate first consumption thing. I'm not waiting.
But we're crazy.
As far as texture, right? You want to slam it first.
Yeah.
Then it's gonna.
Which
stock
is why
out.
I'm not waiting for it. I'm not waiting to eat that. I'm looking at that immediately. That's the first thing. I'm looking at lumpia, and that's the first thing I want to eat.
I agree with that.
And that's what I mean as an appetizer. Is I don't care about French terms here. It's like, what do I want to eat first right away?
I agree on that.
Though. Right?
Yeah.
I feel like Noelle misled all of us.
Oh, man. Lumpia
this
is not
all Noel's fault, right?
Lumpia is not.
Can we agree that when a hot lumpia, even if it's mediocre lumpia,
you want to slam it?
You want to slam it first, sure. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
When you're building that plate, like at the party, I see what Noel's doing because you're doing like rice, you got pancit, and then you got some lumpia right there. And it's almost like kind of like your main at times. You know what I mean?
But are you waiting? Are you eating the rice first?
So I eat the lumpia.
There is
there it is.
Answer.
You just said eat the lumpia first.
Oh, and then I eat rice after.
Yeah, you grab first.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I know Filipinos that composed.
She ridiculed us for believing what we believe is the truth right now.
Yeah. You eating, starting with the lumpia defines it as a starter. You start.
Yes, that's what I mean as a starter.
Yeah, you just broke it all down. Yeah. I did not know that through all these years.
Right? Think about it. It's like, I know people are listening to me like, okay, let's move on. But no, this is important.
I know people want to move on, but no.
No. In all of those foods, right, where you have cultures, cuisines, where you have a deep fried crispy roll cylinder, at no point in eating any of that are you waiting to, like, you're always eating that first.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like eating the middle of a sandwich. Who does that?
Sociopath. Sociopath. Do you really?
No, I don't eat the middle of a sandwich first.
He flips his burger over.
I do an upside down burger hold. I'm
Wait, what?
I know.
I cradle the bottom with my hands and then I invert it into my mouth.
Flip.
The flip.
Oh, okay.
Patented. Patented move. Wait, I want to go back. You said, okay. Lumpia, top three crispy cylinders in the global canon of crispy cylinders.
Yeah.
What is, in what category does Filipino food sit on the very top?
I would say the lechon category.
I think you are correct.
Yeah. Yeah. But specifically cebuchon, which is what we do at our restaurant, but it's like a... Oh,
Roy Choice.
Jump on this debate right now.
Get him mic'd up.
Get him mic'd up here.
Hey, folks, we are joined with the legendary one and only, our good friend.
Come sit here. Sit in my seat.
LA
in the house.
LA. We're in the cheap seat. So
Come here. Okay. Sit here.
Get in the truck, chef.
How you doing? Hey, Dave.
What a surprise. Chris, where are you going?
I'm going to hang out on the 2024
Again, the audience, if you don't know, Roy Choi has just joined us. What a surprise. But yet, I'm still not going to move on from this conversation. If you have lumpia first, right? If you have Filipino food and you have all of these delicious things in front of you, what are you going to eat first?
Well, I've been to so many house parties because I grew up in L.A., you know, Cerritos, West Covina, South Bay. So I always went, you know, it's a multitask thing. So you put the
lumpia.
Lumpia in your mouth while you grab the pancit. And then you grab.
But again, you're eating it first.
But the lumpia is first.
The lumpia is always
holding
first.
It.
That's all I'm trying to
it's
say.
Always, there it.
I think it's right just like.
The lumpia's first.
It's the app.
Coded in our DNA, right?
Yeah.
We all naturally incline to eat fried cylindered foods first.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's all.
You think, Roy, you agree that the lumpia is top three crispy cylinders of the world?
So what do you compare it against? Egg roll, Vietnamese rolls, imperial roll.
Imperial roll. The Chinese spring roll.
Taquitos, flautas.
Taquitos.
I don't think you can do flautas and taquitos because flautas is open. Taquitos is closed.
Top three. Top five.
Oh, boy.
Fair.
Yeah. Can I throw my own top culture five. Under the bus here if we're going to talk about things like this? In terms of dumplings...
We got the worst.
Mandu doesn't even make top five.
Doesn't even make top five. It's like you say, like our martial arts.
Yeah.
Our martial arts and our dumplings.
We just block.
That's it.
Mandu.
Just if you're hungry, you put the mandu in. That's
been a great marketing job, whoever said Taekwondo is about kicking and all that other non-essential stuff. But I think we have one of the worst dumplings in all of Asia.
Our noodle game isn't the best either.
No, it's not.
I don't think so. Rice game is on point.
But dumplings, we are, not even MLS.
We're not even
MLS.
G League.
Yeah, that's sad.
Sure.
The mandu is yeah.
But mandu. I will say this much, though. Our mandu is just ahead of gyoza.
The Japanese do everything right except
for gyoza. I mean, literally, I think we can all agree here that Japanese food, they just have perfected so many things.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they've just punted on gyoza.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Do you think the problem is too much cabbage?
I want to know why they don't
care
about it.
You think it's the relationship with the Chinese going back into history?
But they've perfected so many things that are Chinese.
From the Chinese.
And Korean. That's true. So I don't understand it.
Yeah.
The gyoza.
The gyoza feels like it's the thing on the menu that they cater to non-Asians, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. But you've been to Japan so many times, and you've been inner circle.
Yeah.
Are there any like gyoza spots like the Yakitori?
In Yokohama, there's actually a gyoza museum. And in it, they have like the best gyoza from all over Japan. And here's how good it was. I can't tell you anything I ever did. All right? I'm okay trashing gyoza. Okay? That's all. But we're just ahead. Mandu is just ahead.
You guys got dumplings?
We have.
In Filipino cuisine?
So most of our dumplings came from the Chinese. We have like, if you can consider shomai a dumpling. No, I don't know.
Okay, you
Shopao is considered a...
Shopao. A steam bun?
Does it have the yellow
wrapper? No, steam bun is not... Different sport.
There's pancit molo, but it's literally just like seasoned ground pork in a broth, like in a wonton wrapper.
I don't think I've ever had Filipino...
Yeah,
I've had the buns, but I don't think I've...
We don't really have dumplings.
No.
Yeah.
That are inherently like ours.
Yeah, we don't have any.
Do we go where we should not go? Do we try to rank our own cuisines in Asia?
I think we should.
I think we should.
Super Bowl. Let me ask you this. Hold on. Dave, do you think that the mandu and the Japanese gyoza rank below any European dumplings?
Pierogies.
Pelmeni.
Pretty good.
Chicken and dumplings.
Think that there are European dumplings that rank above Asian
dumplings? The reality is it's like China for dumplings.
and then rest of field.
Yeah. Yeah. Without argument.
I mean, it's like Kung Fu. Like, they just won.
you want to rank
China. They just crushed on dumplings.
I wish I could debate that.
You want to rank the Asian cuisines? Let's do this.
Oh, okay.
Let's do this.
But can we try to get some consensus, in all honesty?
Yeah, of course. It's what we're about, right?
Top Asian food?
We'll go top five.
Asian cuisines.
Top five. All Asia.
We're going top five?
All Asia.
Laotian.
Hot take.
Laotian food.
Laotian food is bomb.
Oh.
So good.
Yeah.
It's like Viet food on steroids, flavor-wise. But I don't know if it's number one.
No. We're just saying top five. We're going reverse. You're going to put it number five? Consensus? Since you guys have consensus and collaboration... We're going to get this consensus so none of us get in trouble.
For me, I would say Thai is five.
We have a quorum of Asians.
Listen, as much as I love Laotian food, Vietnamese is just too powerful.
It is very powerful.
You're saying Laotian food is better than Vietnamese?
It's more powerful than Vietnamese.
More powerful.
Yeah, more flavor.
You said
more
Brock Purdy's flavor. Better than Joe Montana. I don't even understand what you just said.
We'll find out on Sunday.
Ooh. Wow. We'll all right. So,
okay.
But I hate the Niners.
You think it, if Laotian food is better than like Vietnamese, or it has to be in the top five, I think.
I agree.
I think it's more than five. I think it's like three.
Are you guys going to put Filipino food in top five of all Asian cuisines?
I would. But,
who are you going to bump out? Let's say, okay, Thai food, Korean food, Japanese food, Chinese food.
Korean, Chinese, five right there. Those are five right there.
Japanese, Chinese, Vietnamese, Thai.
Yeah,
Thai.
Korean.
Korean, Japanese, Chinese, Vietnamese,
Thai.
Let's
leave Korean and Philippines out, right? To try to be, so we have China, which is like hard to, it's just a behemoth.
Yeah.
Japan.
Right. Behemoth, yeah.
None of us would exist without China. Anyway. Vietnamese food, which is unique in and of itself. Thai food as another thing.
Singaporean.
Like Malaysian food. But okay, I'm going to just put China, Japan, personally. Thai food.
As Taiwanese, are you lumping that?
No. That's a wholly separate thing.
Okay, all right, just asking.
But I don't think it's making top five. No offense, Taiwan. I love you, Taiwan.
What happens to this list if India enters the chat?
Shit.
Oh.
Sorry. Am I cursing? These are real heavy conversations.
This is, tears might be shed today.
I think it's China, then one, India, two.
Ooh.
Over Japan?
The age-old argument. Is India allowed to enter the Asian chat?
Well, they get to sign. When you do a POS test, they get to sign Pacific Asian Islander.
Yeah. Right? But we as Asians don't always agree.
It's true.
Well, let's be honest.
Agree to disagree.
Well,
yeah,
let's put it this way. Are Indian, they're not celebrating Lunar New Year.
Asians are the world's largest and yet most exclusive club.
So I'm going to say, if you don't celebrate, majority of people don't celebrate Lunar New Year, you're out.
Oh, you're not using Lunar New Year.
You heard it here on the Dave Chang Show. First. Oh. India, you're out.
Filipinos really only made it because we have the oldest Chinatown in the world. Did you know that?
Who does?
We're in India?
In the Philippines.
Oh, in the Philippines.
The oldest Chinatown in the world.
In China, we just call
that for next time I'm on Jeopardy.
Yeah. There you go.
I didn't
what
know
is
that.
Shout me out.
But in China, we just call them towns. They're just normal towns.
All right, let's get back there. We agree that China's in the top five. We agree that Japan's in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if we have agreement after that. Because India's out.
I would say Vietnamese is top five.
So then what about Thai?
We agree that Thai and Vietnam. So
top five is hard.
That's five right there.
Wait, so you guys, you're cutting Korea and Philippines out just because
No.
Why are we? No.
For right now, we're taking out Korea and the Philippines. But now let's reintroduce Korea and the Philippines. Oh. Like we're like Squid Games, you know?
Well, there's only one spot left, so it's a battle royale between the Philippines and Korea.
I could not have planned this better.
Let's go.
I'm sorry. I love Pinoy culture, but Korea's got to win there. I'm sorry, man. I'll go head to head with any ambassador right there.
No, but listen.
You can go, you know?
The truth is, there's no world in which this side of this stage is going to stand for Philippines kicking Korea out.
Of course.
You make the case. Make the case
that
Philippines belongs in there over Korea.
I'm just going to be honest.
She doesn't believe it. She doesn't think Philippines
belongs. I'm just going to be honest, okay? We kick ass at like karaoke, hip-hop, and all this other stuff, but I love Korean food. Like, it's like my number one. I'm sorry.
It's your number one. Number one?
Oh, come on.
All right, so.
We'll see you back in LA, Chef. We'll see you back in LA.
Thank you, Roy Choi. Roy just came in to secure victory for the Koreans.
Bye, Chef.
You guys really gave up so quickly.
No, come on.
Oh, talk about consensus.
That's me. That's me.
All right, well, Roy Choi. Nico and I.
Yeah, you never know who you're going to run to at the Super Bowl experience here.
What's difficult about Filipino food and representation is, you know, our historic Filipino town in LA lacks a lot as far as restaurants that represent Filipino culture well. Koreatown is like a behemoth, you know. You said,
but I think it's changing, and I think in another 10 years, it'll be less, it's just going to be way more multicultural than.
Oh, 1 million. It's already headed that way.
And I think for me, some of the best food that I've had is.
You said Fullerton. Fullerton. Right. I heard that. Yeah. But what I think is difficult to really calculate is like the exposure of Filipino food to the masses isn't where Korean, Thai, Japanese, Chinese, Vietnamese are. So it's like, you know, how much Filipino food have you guys really had?
Only like the gateway things, well, like lechon and lumpia.
Well, in the East Village, you know, where Noodle Bar is at right now was a Filipino restaurant originally called Crystals. And the East Village, where from 13th Street to, I'd say, 9th Street, and there's a couple Filipino restaurants there right now that are more a little bit more modern.
Right.
That little 2-3 block stretch was like New York's Filipino town. So I had a lot of Filipino food when I, like 2003, 2004, but that was like the extent of it. You know, like I went to school, one of my best friends was Filipino and I would have some Filipino food, but I've never been experienced to the whole array.
Right.
Of what
and that's hard to get outside of a household.
Why is that though?
Assimilation?
I think very similar to Indian food, right? Where everyone's like, the food is better at home.
Right. And also like, I think that it's, whenever you go to Filipino parties, there's just the hits, like the greatest hits. You're getting the pancit, you're getting the lumpia.
Let's back up for the audience.
Sorry.
What is pancit?
Pancit is a Filipino noodle dish that we have. Lumpia is our egg rolls. Then you also have barbecue on the stick, rice, and then a couple like stew dishes. Then from there, you just kind of have that limited scope of what Filipino food is. You go to a Filipino house and that's what you have. But in fact, with Filipino food, it's such a range, such a diverse set of islands. Like you get different eating styles, different influences. Down south, it's a lot of Muslim influence and coconut and curries. While up north, where we're from, Pampanga, it's Spanish influence into our food. A lot of like braised stews is a big thing, and a lot of love for pork. So we even
you guys really took it to a whole different level on pork, man.
It's kind of gross sometimes.
Yeah, crazy. Our obsession with pork.
It's crazy.
Gout is
you guys rampant. Love that pig.
Rampant. Yeah.
But it's true. Culture. It's like you guys did to pork what the Japanese do to most foods. Like you cannot take it further.
Right. Yeah.
Like pork, roast pork, Filipino style is so delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You guys have juiced all the deliciousness
and
out of
the
that
skin
pig.
And everything. It's just like it's so good.
But it's interesting because you know the lumpia debate and the way you talk about it, the way you're talking about eating Filipino food is actually really telling, right? Because you're sort of describing all of these situations as like a Filipino party. You go to a party and it's right. all there. It's all a big array of food and it's just like take what you want and eat what you want. You know the hits are going to be there. And that's like, and I grew up, my best friend growing up was Filipino and I would go to his house for parties. So I've seen this, right? It's just like so much food. Is adapting that for the restaurant, like changing that style, a challenge, you know, to serve that food that is supposed to be usually just like a huge communal, your whole family and friends, you're at your house, but adapting that to, I've got to serve like a Western audience with like a menu with a certain structure.
What's fun about what we do at Lucita is I feel like we deliver that cultural experience really well to the Western palate as a whole. You know, if you eat at a restaurant, it's like we serve most things family style or large portion, large format, with that straight up intention of like, yo, this is how we eat. You know, we drop nearly everything like at the same time because this is how we eat. It's not lumpia first. It's lumpia right next to me. You know what I mean?
Do you feel that your food, let me explain. So like when Korean people were super critical of my food.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Like I do get this till this day. I don't really love your food so much, but thank you for everything else that you're doing. Right? Because it's just, and I was okay with that because I'm not trying to make anything authentic.
Right.
But you guys know your own culture is going to be the harshest critic.
You're not trying to make anything traditional.
No.
You're trying to make it authentic.
No, I don't even want authentic. I'm trying. I want to make it delicious and I want to make it so it's like the narrative makes sense to me.
Exactly. Which is authenticity.
And I think the difference, that's one way for sure. And I'm not, for me, if I was opening a restaurant in like Bulgaria or whatever, right? And there was a small Korean community, I would make it as traditional as possible. But that's not my I'm not that. So yeah. do you get the same criticism? Because I get it from Korean people and basically anyone that's Asian. Do you guys get that from Filipino people?
Yeah, when we started, yeah. I think what's different is we're from LA. You know, we're Filipino American, and we're cooking from our perspective, and the intention isn't to do traditional. The intention is to be more representative of our experiences being Filipino American. So there's like a hybrid kind of situation going on the menu, but the baseline, you'll see the you'll taste the flavors of Filipino cuisine, especially with our chicken and asal and pork belly lechon. And then everything else, Nico gets to be really creative and fun and to highlight Filipino flavors in a unique way where it's indicative of like the Angelino palate or the style that we want, where there's freshness, there's veggies, you know?
Heard of them?
And just like getting like a nice balanced meal. Like with Filipino food, there is a lot of, I will be honest, a lot of pork heavy, a lot of stews and rice. And for us, our space, we kind of want to stretch that out, meaning more than that. We want to provide more so we can get a unique flavor palette that you're having while you're dining at La Cita. But we do bring the energy of like a Filipino party where like music's playing, everyone's kicking it. It's like a large group, party of four, party of eight, party of 10, and everyone's hanging out and like having a party. You know, we do bring that energy, that, and we don't lose that. So I guess to answer, I guess like what's fun is you get that essence of Filipino-ness of like camaraderie and hospitality and fun, but just in a different kind of point of view.
Well,
to answer your question too, I stopped caring about what other Filipinos think. I just want to make good food.
Yeah.
Really. That's what matters.
We're going to take a break and then ask one more.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. No matter how you like your eggs, scrambled, over easy, or sunny side up, the people at Vital Farms believe in one thing, keeping it bullshit free. That's why their pasture-raised eggs come from hens who each have over 108 square feet of space to roam and forage all year round. So you can spend less time questioning your food and more time enjoying it. Look for Vital Farms in your grocery store and learn more at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Welcome back to the Dave Chang Show. I'm here with Toyota and the NFL at Super Bowl 58, recording next to the all-new 2024 Tacoma with Chef Nico De Leon and Steph and Chase from La Cita. Before we get you guys out of here, we want to do a quick debate club. Rotisserie versus vertical spit.
Let's go.
Someone has... I'm just going to say it. Nico is the self-proclaimed rotisserie king.
That was not me, but
no, it's okay. That was your turn. That was you, know. No,
thank you. You know, that's so sweet of you.
Well, you have that rotisserie king tattoo across your chest.
Actually across the lower back.
Okay.
No, so for a long time, I felt that the rotisserie was the most ingenious way of cooking, and I love it. We've had it. I wanted to always cook rotisserie, but until I saw started to think about the vertical spit, sure. I was like, maybe it's a better way of cooking. What are your thoughts?
I will have to disagree.
No surprise.
No surprise. But, you know, we can all win here because I've used the horizontal spit like a vertical spit, and it works in the same fashion.
What is that? What do you mean you've used the horizontal
spit? Like I've created like a al pastor trompo on the...
On the horizontal spit. Okay.
Yeah.
This guy's just Kama Sutra of spinning foods over here. Just all kinds of positions I've never heard of. What are you? But that they're still different.
Are you slicing meats?
For Lisita, no. But when I was just messing around, as I do. But yeah, I was slicing it off like you would like.
Yeah, I've seen actually in Australia, I've seen like Lebanese restaurants over charcoal have like the sort of same slicing off and stuff. But like, Chang, why do you think having had the
why is
the,
it superior?
Having had the horizontal at sambar and then you have the vertical, what was like the sort of eye opening what did the verticality open
it's
up?
It's better at self basting
because it just dripped down
because it's hitting the whole length of it.
Also,
I see that.
It's an amazing way to continuously get Maillard reaction slices.
Why is the horizontal spit not that, though?
Like, well, it's hard on the setup because a lot of the rotisserie doors have doors, and it's not set up where... I don't think a single spit is a rotisserie, in my opinion. I think rotisserie has numerous. At least three or four or five. And I think because of that, it's hard to slice horizontally.
Oh, so you're talking about your own issues...
Everything's about my
hands. Just because you can't do it. My hands are smaller than yours, Chef.
But no, I mean, but the vertical spit is set up for that purpose, right? Like, shave it off and go.
Right.
The horizontal spit, which is rotating as you're going this way, it is not physically, really logistically harder to be like,
it's good for different things. I love a rotisserie. I love being able to cook things at the bottom of the rotisserie. I think it's great for large batch cooking.
Of course.
It's amazing. But really, the reason I bring it up and the reason we even talk about Ugly Delicious was I don't think the vertical spit got enough love.
Yeah, I can agree to that. I think the horizontal spit is, I would argue it's actually better at self-basting. Typically, it would take like a drop of fat a few rounds before it drips off, you know, whereas the vertical spit, it's kind of just like, you know, making its way down and then gravity takes care of it.
We're going to agree to disagree.
Yeah, no.
Good luck with your salad plate.
No, but I don't know this. Is the horizontal spit a part of a lot of Filipino cooking, or is that part of the Lisita?
That's part of Lisita.
Lisita's thing specifically, right?
Yeah, the chicken in a sal dish that we primarily use it for and the lechon are usually, the chicken in a sal is typically just grilled.
Okay. But and so you've got your spit, is it like the one where they're all rotating so that you're dripping pork on?
No, it's not like a carousel.
Okay, it's not
Ours
a carousel.
Ours is just like stacked.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, pork on the bottom, chicken on top.
Got it.
Well,
health department.
I'm looking forward to tasting your sandwich.
I would love it if you did.
Thanks, guys, for joining us.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
This is a special edition of the Dave Chang Show from the new 2024 Tacoma Experience. Thanks to Chef Nico De Leon, Chase Steph for joining us. You can visit their restaurant, Lisita, in Los Angeles, Chinatown. And I'd say our Chinatown is cooler than the other Chinatown that we'll talk about at another day.
Oh my God.
Is that a hot take or just the truth?
That's a hot take. But I'll agree. LA, baby.
You can follow them on Instagram at lasita.la. Give us 5 stars. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.